Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's sermon podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks so much for joining us here on this June 14th. I hope you are doing well. This weekend kicks off the summer camps. The very youngest ages began their camp this weekend. They did it Saturday. They finished today, Sunday, and then kicks off additional campers throughout the week that are going to Explorer Camp. And we've got a whole bunch of kids that are going to that. And so be in prayer for kids and Covenant Cedars, and that they would have encounters and experiences of God and come to know Jesus Christ and give their heart and life to Him and accept Him as their Savior, or just grow in Him and more knowledge of Him. But that's going on right now. Want to mention to you, too, that every Monday morning at 8 a.m., any of the guys who are interested, we meet for coffee over at the Cove in Waverly there. And we just have coffee from 8 to around 9 or whenever people can stay. No agenda, no lesson, no nothing. We just hang out and have coffee. And so if you're interested, come join us. The Breakout and Collide Middle School and High School group, they're going to go to Adventureland on June 24th there in Des Moines. And so in your church email, or if you call up Pastor Tobias, let him know you want to go to that. He's going to start registering kids. The cost is $50. They're going to meet at 7 a.m. at the Cove and drive there during the day, and then come on home late at night there. So hopefully your kids can be able to go to that. And then the last announcement that I have there is that on July 4th, which is only a few weeks away now, but we are going to have our normal annual July 4th barbecue in Waverly. We open it up to anyone in the community who wants to come over for a free barbecue lunch. We do it there. We serve about 600 people. So come with your family and eat with us. It is good. It starts right after the Waverly Parade at about 11:30 and goes to 1:30, so you can show up at any time. And if you want to help with that, my wife Carrie runs it. And so if you would like to help her, it's a great outreach and a great service thing. Get in touch with me or Carrie and say you'd be willing. We go over early. We set up all the tables and chairs. We put out the pulled pork and help serve people the chips and the drinks and everything as they come through. But it's just a way for us as a church to give back to our community, to celebrate July 4th, and to kind of let them know that we're out here. And so if you're interested in helping, talk to me or Carrie. Or if not and just want to come and eat, come on out on July 4th. All right, if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to ask you, we're going to look at two scriptures today. The first is Isaiah 43, 1-3, and the second is Mark 4, 35-41. We're in a Fruit of the Spirit sermon series this summer, and we're on to the week where we're going to talk about peace, the fruit of peace that God wants to grow of more in our life. So here are these two scriptures. First, in Isaiah 43, verses 1-3, it says this: "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." What an encouraging and beautiful scripture that is. And then from Mark 4, 35-41, familiar one, when Jesus calms the storm. It says this: "That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's go over to the other side of the lake.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there was also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care? We are going to drown." Jesus got up. He rebuked the wind and the waves. He said, "Quiet, be still." And all of a sudden, the wind died down and it was completely calm. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Oh, I love those two scriptures. I love Isaiah 43, a good reminder to God's people of who they are and how he created them, created us, and formed us. And he's covenanted with us, his promise. And so we don't have to fear. It says, "For he has redeemed us. He knows our name and we are his. And whenever we go through things in life, he's going to see us through them. He is our God." And then, of course, the second scripture is Jesus with his disciples there on the boat. And a storm comes up suddenly, just like the trials can sometimes do in our life. And the disciples find themselves all of a sudden in real danger. And they think they're going to drown. And they're afraid. And so they wake up Jesus and they say, "Don't you care?" But Jesus gets up and he speaks to that wind and he commands those waves. And all of a sudden, everything is calm. And then he looks to his disciples and he said, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have faith in me?" This morning, we're going to continue on in our sermon series on the fruit of the Spirit, of what God wants to grow in our life as we learn to do life with Christ and to believe in him and to obey him and to spend time abiding in him. He's going to grow fruit in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is God's work that he does in me, in my heart and in my life as I trust in him. The fruit of the Spirit, just as a reminder, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, we've already looked at the first two of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy. Today, I want to take some time to think deeper about peace. And I'll ask you this question for you to think about today. Are you at peace with God today? Is your heart at peace with what is happening in your life and where you're at? Or is your heart full of troubles and worry maybe today? How about peace with other people? You know, has God been working in your life lately, and you can tell it, to kind of heal and reconcile some of those relationships in your life where you've had some struggles? The Lord wants to grow peace, greater peace in you and me. Now, to begin talking about peace and all that it really means, I want to start by mentioning Ozzy Osbourne. And I've mentioned him a few times over the years, and I know it's a little strange that I do, but Ozzy Osbourne is, you know, this crazy and conflicted man. And he was this famous singer, always a bit controversial, but a couple interviews with him have really made me think deeper about peace. For in one interview with him, he was asked, and this is later in his life, not very long ago, he was asked if he could have anything, what would it be? And without hesitation, he said, "Peace." That's what he most wanted. He said, "All my life, I've been searching for peace." But the other interview of him that really got me thinking about this was an older interview, one way back from the late 1970s, early 1980s, when he was younger, and it was a rare interview where he wasn't dressed up like Ozzy, but he was just John Osbourne. His real name, a British man in his early in his 30s, and he was talking in this interview, and he said, "Ozzy is just the character that I play on stage, like this alter ego. But then he said this, but he wants to come out more and more. He's always there. See? And then he just went like this. And in a second, his eyes changed. His whole face seemed to change. He was transformed. It was like right there. He didn't have the wild hair or outfit, but you could see it in his eyes and you could hear it in his voice. It was nuts. And then just like that, he flipped back to John Osborne and carried on with the interview. But what struck me is that he said this. He said, it's becoming harder. Ozzy wants to take over more and more. And the people expect him whenever they run into me. That's who they want to see. Now, as far as I know, John Osborne didn't have another interview like that one. Soon it became only Ozzy all the time that anyone saw. I bring this up because I believe something like this happens in our life. Whether by something we go through, or the people around us, or just the demon inside, we can lose who we are and who we were created to be and become who we are not. We become what the world wants us to be or expects us to be or is trying to shape us to be. Not who God has made us and declares us to be. Not who we really are. And to me, this is what sin is. The word sin means to miss the mark. It's not just some list of bad things. It's to live and be and do and think contrary to who God says we are and how God created us to be, as we learn about him in his word. We lose ourselves, and we find ourselves now in conflict with God and in conflict with each other and in conflict even internally with ourselves. We are broken and we don't always know how to deal with that. Most of the time we kind of know something is wrong with us, but we don't know how to deal with it. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because the word for peace in the Bible is shalom, and it is a great word. It literally means to be made whole again, complete. It implies brokenness restored, a relationship that was broken that is healed and brought back together again, a situation that has shaken us but now made calm again, a circumstance that isn't as it should be, that is now made right. This is what peace really means. You can, again, think of it in another way. You can think of it like a puzzle. I love puzzles. But imagine the puzzle reveals who God is, his will for your life and this world, and it is this beautiful picture. But imagine all you got is the pieces. The box has crumbled, it's fallen, the pieces are scattered all over. Some of the pieces are even hidden in places you're not sure you can find them all. And imagine you don't have the box cover there to even know what the picture looks like that you're supposed to be making. And who is God, and that picture of who is God, and who are you, and what is life about, and what does God even want from us, and what's it all mean? But into this reality, God sent his son. And Jesus is the picture. In him, we're now able to see who God is and who we were created to be. We're able now to envision what life looks like and this world and this future that he has planned. And when we invite him into our life by faith, he comes and he begins to gather all the pieces of us, even the lost pieces, and he begins to form and put together your life back to who he had made you to be, who he always created you to be. And he is faithful to complete it. Without Christ, we have no hope. We try to put ourselves together and to keep it together and to figure us out and to figure out this world, and in the process, we just make a mess. We try to force pieces that were never meant to go, and they just don't fit. You know, it's like my grandmother. I miss her terribly, love her. But in her last couple years, I don't think she was seeing very good. And she would sit down with the family to do puzzles. Our family loves to do puzzles. And grandma would sit down with us and to put the pieces together. But they wouldn't fit. She would push these pieces together and try to make them fit. And we would say, "Grandma, that one doesn't go there." Or sometimes Dad, when she wasn't looking, would pull them apart and put them back in there. But we can do the same kind of thing with our life, if you're following me. It's part of growing, I guess, or trying to figure things out, but we force pieces together. We want certain things, or the world tells us we're a certain way, but the perfect picture, only He knows. And when we surrender our life to Him and believe in Him and the cross and invite the Lord to come into our life to do the work in us that we can't and to lead us and to put us together as He knows us to be, then we begin to see the picture that was always meant. And He is able to complete it, His good and perfect will for us and this world. Well, if you followed all of that, I say it because this is shalom. This is what peace really is and what it means in the Bible. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's not just pleasant feelings. It's not just somehow being happy with ourselves. It's wholeness. It's something that is lost, that has now been found, something that is off, that has now been made right, something that is broken and scattered, that is now by the grace of God made whole again, that is realized again. This is true peace. And it's what we're searching for, even if we don't realize it. And this is what only Jesus, God's Son, can do in our life. He's the one who knows the perfect picture. He knows how all the pieces fit together. This is what He came for, to bring us peace, to gather and put the pieces of our life back together again, to restore me back to God and to restore me to others and to heal the brokenness that is inside of me. To a world that God loves, trapped in darkness, He sent the light. To a world that has been deceived by a deceiver, He has spoken the truth. To a world so full of hate and division and lost its way, He is the way. We didn't know, but now we know. We got the picture now. It's Him. And through Him, we are restored back to God and each other. He is our priest, our peace. He brings wholeness and salvation to our life. Again, I want you to think of the scripture for today and how it fits. Isaiah 43, where the Lord says, "He who created you, He has formed you. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, and you are mine." This is who you are. Your true self, created, formed, and redeemed in Christ. He has come so that you might have peace, wholeness. And just like in previous weeks with love and joy, where we learned they are a fruit of the Spirit, and we only love because He first loved us, and same with joy, true and everlasting joy comes only through a relationship with Christ. Well, same thing with peace. You can't find peace like God wants to give you out in the world. True peace can only be found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." I don't know if Ozzy Osbourne ever turned his life over to Christ and found that peace he was searching for. I hope so. But someone I do know that found it was my Uncle Gary. He was a favorite. I always liked him. He never went to church when I went to growing up or anything like that. When I went to seminary, I moved closer to him and my Aunt Dorothy, who lived in Chicago. My school was there, just about an hour away from their house. So I got to get to know them and see them more in those years. And he was always so good to me, inviting me and loving on me, interested in what I was learning and how I wanted to be a pastor. But he didn't know much about that, and he didn't know much about the Bible. He would often joke with me, though, that if he ever walked into a church, there'd probably be lightning or something. You know, implying that God wasn't happy with him and maybe some of the things that he had done in life. And maybe part of that was the conviction of the Lord, I don't know. But I loved Gary, and I would always try to talk to him about Jesus, not pushy, but just at times as he would kid about this or that or ask me about my studies, I'd try and throw in a little bit of witness, you know, and let him know that it wasn't so much, you know, what we do, it's more what he did for us that is our salvation, how he died for our sins and rose that we could have a life with him forever. And we just need to believe in him and ask him to forgive us and invite him to be the Lord of our life. Well, I'm not sure that he ever heard that or accepted that back then, but later on, many years later, you know, during COVID, so only about 5 or 6 years ago, we started putting our sermons at this church online each week. Well, I had no idea, but Gary began to watch. Maybe the Lord just caused him to do so. But at some point, and the Lord only knows, he invited Jesus into his heart. And that is everything to me now, because he died just a year or so ago, and I got to do his funeral with my family, and we rejoiced in this truth that Christ was his peace. He finally came to that point where he saw that the Lord loved him and that he could trust in the Lord. Well, you know, I think all of us in our life, it breaks our heart when we see loved ones conflicted or resistant to God or just always fighting when the answer seems to be right in front of them. Or we see all the wars out in the world or the people lost in sin or all the teenagers full of anxiety or people we love continuing down a path that's only killing them. But the truth of the matter is we're all broken and we all need God, and only he can fix us and give us real peace. And so whatever ways we try to calm ourselves or console ourselves or yoga ourselves or think positive or medicate or drink it away or broker deals or whatever we try to do to escape, to find a new place or fill our lives with other things, it'll never bring true peace to our heart or heal that which is broken in us. Only Jesus can. But Jesus can, you guys, if only we would trust in him. There are three ways God really wants to give each of us peace today that we need. The first is peace with him. You'll not find peace with yourself or situation or others in your life until you first find peace with God. Do you know the Bible even calls us enemies of God? That because of our sin, we're living in rebellion against God. And that whenever we sin, we're actually sinning against God. And the wages of this sin is death in our life, and God is justified in his judgment of us. But the good news of Scripture is that instead of giving us what we deserve, instead of destroying us, God in his love and grace has chosen to save us. He sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus. Through the cross, I have been restored back to God. On the cross, Jesus reconciled us back to himself. On the cross, he showed us the depth of our sin as well as the depth of his love. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "This is all from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, not counting people's sins against them." Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord." True peace begins in our life when we come humbly before God and we accept the truth of who he says we are as revealed in this word. And we accept that we are sinners in need of his forgiveness. And we humbly ask for his forgiveness and put our faith in him and what he has done for us and invite him to come and be the Lord of our life today. When that happens, peace enters into us. We begin that daily relationship with God through Christ, and his Spirit enters and we have peace. And every day we get into his word, we grow and we become more like him when we feel his nudges and conviction, as well as his help and strength and grace and love, as he is putting our life together the way we were meant to be. We are walking with God and he does it in us. Until we come to God and are restored by the cross, we won't know peace. Peace comes from him and in salvation. And I want to just add this, that even though I am saved, I find in my life that if I continue to walk in a sin, and I know it is sin, but I'm still going to do it anyway because I want to do what I want to do, I am not going to have peace in my heart. Sure, his blood covers my sins, but my heart is not going to be at rest. Why? Because I'm not abiding in him. I'm not doing what's good and right and holy that he has commanded of me. That is why I am struggling in here. But that is a good thing, I think, because that's the conviction of the Lord that keeps calling me back to his grace. Like it is good when you put your hand over the fire and it hurts, and so you pull it away so that it doesn't cause more damage. It's good that it hurts. Well, the unrest in our soul at times is trying to tell us, hey, we're on the wrong path. God is telling us, stop, let go of that. Trust me, obey me. I've got to have all of you. 1 John 1:6-9 says, "If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we're not living the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will purify us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." So the peace of God first comes to us when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. And he enters and he fills our heart and life. And as we're walking with him in his truth and in his light, even when we fall, we get up, we confess our sin in him, and we are forgiven. This brings peace that we need, the number one. But the second part of his peace that God wants to give us is in our circumstances. Going back to Isaiah 43, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames won't set you ablaze. Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." The repeated use here of the phrase "when you" reminds us that in this life we're going to have trouble. But Jesus said, "Take heart, I've overcome the world." Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you or forsake you." Jesus said, "Ask me for whatever you need and I will give it." Jesus told his disciples that he was going to the cross and that they were all going to fall away. But then Jesus said, "But don't let your hearts become troubled in this time. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you." We will have troubles, but he is our Savior in them. As we read these scriptures about God's people throughout the cover to cover of the Bible, we realize that life for God's people in this world wasn't easy. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we're going to have no problems. We will have them. It doesn't mean being a Christian that you won't have family struggles or marriages that are going to require help from time to time, or job losses in your life, or sicknesses or grief even, or times of even persecution. But God's peace, which is just like God's joy, is not dependent on our circumstances. That's what's so amazing about it. The peace of God is knowing Him and that He is with me every day in this. And He is my hope and my eternal salvation, and that His goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Our peace is knowing that He's able, and that in Him I can do all things, and that His grace is always sufficient for me. I think of the story of the crossing of the Red Sea. The waters didn't wash over them, just like He promised. God led them through the waters. I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were thrown into the fiery furnace for following God. But the Lord was faithful, just like His word says, and He was with them in the fire and protected them. They were not burned. I think of the story of the disciples on the boat, and the storm caught them off guard, and the waves, they were real waves. But Jesus was with them in the boat. And He got up and He spoke with authority to those waves, and He made it calm. Jesus looked at His disciples saying, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith in me after everything you've seen?" I would ask you that question. Do you have faith? Do we not think we're gonna not need that every day? We're gonna need faith every day. Faith is necessary to live and feel that peace. Because life is hard, and days we're gonna get just really stressed out or worried about a great many things, unsettled and not know what to do. But our God does know what to do. And our Lord is going to be with us in every storm. Now, I've come to see something, and it's big for me, and maybe it won't be that big of a deal to you, but it is to me. I've come to realize that it's okay to feel afraid, as long as fear doesn't steal my peace in Jesus Christ. In our fears, going to have them. We can't forget God. Because that's the real problem, that we can forget Him. And all we end up seeing in our fears and our struggles are the waves and the troubles in our life, and not the fact that the Lord is sitting right here in our boat, been beside our family for generations, and always looked after us. And that even though I'm surprised by the current storm, He isn't surprised. And even though I don't have a clue what to do, He knows exactly what to do. I've got to have faith. I've got to actually live by it. Trust in Him and believe in Him in those moments. I mean, I might not know if this sickness is going to be healed by God or end in my death. But either way, I know I am safe in the arms of Jesus today. Because He can and does heal, but even if He doesn't, He has given me eternal life, and I'm going to get to go be with Him in heaven. I don't need to fear death anymore because I believe in Him. So either way, I'm going to be good. Who can give us peace like that except Jesus? No one can. So to keep in step with the Spirit is to keep remembering God. Every morning, every night, and in every new circumstance, remember your God. Help your friends, encourage them by remembering God in their moments. Help your wife or your husband, or teach your kids that when we're worried or upset or anxious about a great many things that might even be scary, we've got the Lord, and He goes with us. And all these stories in Scripture are true of what He has done. And He does miracles still in our life. Don't forget God. Be honest about the situation, that it might be really hard. Don't deny it, but just hold it up next to the Lord and all you know Him to be. and all the scriptures declare him to be, and you will feel better. You will experience his peace and pray. The Lord said, our Father in heaven, he knows what we need before we ask, but he wants us to ask. He said, don't worry. Just tell him what you need today and trust him. Remember that when you feel unsettled and shaken by life, he's not unsettled or shaken. And our feet are always secure upon the rock of our salvation. He will not be moved, and which means we will not be. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord every day, always. And again I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident because the Lord is near you. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's like that puzzle again. We can't see the full picture, but God can. And in those moments of our life, we got to trust him. He loves us. He's with us. He knows what he's doing. He is God alone. Our peace is not based on circumstance, but on him who goes with us through it. And then the final area of peace that God wants to grow in your life is with others. The Holy Spirit just doesn't want to give you a peace in your own situations and lead you to a personal peace with God. That's the top, what he wants to do. But not just that, he also wants to fill your life with such peace that it overflows to every one of your relationships. In a world that's so ready to tear each other apart and put one another down and divide and hate and compare and think only about itself, the spirit God puts in us is totally different from that. It's Jesus' spirit who humbled himself and put others ahead of himself and gave of himself and who looked upon his enemy and prayed for them and went to the cross for them. That's the spirit of peace that he puts inside of you. Romans 12:18 therefore says, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do everything you can to be at peace with your neighbor. Romans 14:19 says, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edifications. Ephesians 4 says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you receive. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. The flesh wants to destroy. The Lord wants to heal. The flesh hates, is jealous, loses control with fits of rage, has selfish ambition only, and dissensions. But the Spirit of God is calling me constantly to oneness, to unity, to love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. It can be a battle inside of us. You know, I get hurt and I begin to dwell on that, and all these bad thoughts grow in me against that other person. But honestly, I really don't even know that person and all that they're going through. And so I got to silence that and listen to the Spirit, keep in step with him who's calling me just to pray for that other person and to love them and to try to keep the unity with them. Ephesians 4:30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I want to go back to for a second 2 Corinthians 5:18, where it said, all this is from God who has reconciled us to himself through Christ. Well, the very next verse after that, he says, and he has given us a ministry of reconciliation. We who have been reconciled now have a ministry of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors out in the world. We're not supposed to just be living for ourselves, but for him who died for us. It's again like that puzzle illustration. Christ has gathered all the broken pieces of our life and put them together again in love, that we might know him and his purposes and his will and be restored to him. And now this same thing he's done in us, he wants to have us to become our ministry, that we might help others, that they too might see God and know his peace and wholeness, and be reconciled to him and others. Someone said something really important to me this week. He said, you know what we think is so important at times really isn't? You know, we fight over these things and get all worked up about these things. It's not as important. He says, we need to remember Jesus and what's important to him and just do that. I end with this, and I've told you this many times, but I tell you it once more. When me and Carrie were having an argument over something I can't even remember, the enemy was just really messing with my head, and I was letting him get to me. But praise God, in that moment, Carrie just took my hand, and remembering Jesus and what was important to him, she just took my hand and she said, Dan, I am not your enemy. I am your wife, and I love you. And it became so clear to me in that moment what the devil was trying to do was to divide and hurt and break up my marriage, my home, my life. We need to remember Jesus is our peace. He makes us whole again. He restores us to God. He gives us peace in our times of trial and peace with each other if we'll just listen to him. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts become troubled and do not be afraid. Have a wonderful Sunday.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.